Praise the Lord. Well, let's get into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Word of God. And I thank You how it has changed people's lives. And Father, I thank You for the fire that it puts in people. And the people that are benefited from those that have acquired the fire. And so, Father, today as I preach the Word of God, Father, I pray that I don't preach to any particular person, but I preach to everybody here personally. In Jesus' name, the Word of God. And everybody said, Amen. We were talking about not being hearers only, but doers of the Word of God. We have to be doers and not just hearers only. Amen. One of the things that we had learned from last week's message is Mark 4 tells us from verse 16 to verse 20 the two different types of hearing. The one received it with gladness, but afterward when affliction and persecution came, what had happened is they were offended, and I thought it was interesting the parable said they were offended for the word's sake. So evidently, they had received the word, not predicated on the fact of doing it, but they were just in agreement with it. But when you get down to verse 20 of Mark 4, it says, they had received the word and placed it alongside themselves for the specific purpose of performing it. You know, it grieves my heart in America. And I hate picking on American believers, but this nation is blessed. This nation is blessed. The problem with this blessed nation is that we're taking for granted the blessings that we have. And especially in the Lord. Many of us now are so blessed in this country that we really don't need to operate on the principles of God's Word. All we have to do is join a good church. And agree with what everybody else is agreeing with. And go home and live any way that we want to. Why? Because we have all the comforts of life right here. I never realized until I went over to a third world country how important it was to believe for toilet paper. I mean, in America, you got it everywhere in rolls. But over in these third world countries, as a matter of fact, I had to go to the bathroom so bad I got off the plane, and I went and I was looking for a bathroom there in the Ukraine and with Rick Renner's ministry, and I walked up to Slay and says, "Where's the bathrooms at?" And she showed me where they were. I went in there and I noticed they had no toilet paper, and so I went back down and I said, "Yeah, where's the toilet paper at?" She says, "In the walls." And I said, "Toilet paper in the walls?" She said, "Yeah." So I went up there and I said, "In the walls?" And I'm looking, I'm seeing these pipes run along the walls. And in the corner is rag stuff there. And some of them had little brown spots on them. So I went back downstairs and I said, "That I didn't see no toilet paper in the walls. I saw some rags stuffed in the pipes there." And she said, yeah, you use. I just shook my head. I couldn't believe it. Needless to say, I had to wait until I got to where I was going in the hotel to use it, you know. So God had a lot of grace on me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was hoping the hotel had such a thing as called toilet paper. I wasn't even interested in whether it was squishable or not. But we do. We take for granted the comforts of the lifestyle that we live in America. We do live. And we're living in a very intense time. I don't know whether any of you realize that. Our time is very intense. Matter of fact, your time is very important. How many can agree to that? Especially the way our society has gone now, everything is centered around making the almighty dollar. And so we as Americans, we don't have the convenient of a lot of time on our hands because we're very busy type of people. And so it makes it very, very easy for us to to fashion our lifestyle around the kingdom of God rather than fashioning the kingdom of God around our lifestyle. We just don't think that way. Amen? And so today, I want to share some things with you about eight noticeable signs of someone who is a doer of the Word of God, not just a hearer only. I never realized up until about, I think it was 8 years ago, that I had come to the conclusion because of some of the fruits of my own life that I was more of a hearer of the Word of God than a doer of the Word of God. And of course, God led me on a journey of rekindling my faith and really starting to look at things. And three areas that the Word of God will do for you, three areas that I brought up last week, and I want to remind you of them. That first of all, it says that when a man is a hearer only and not a performer or a doer, the first sign is that he's self-deceived. In other words, he doesn't really have a focus on himself in relationship to the Word of God. That's why the Greek word in Mark 4, verse 20, it says, "These are they likewise who have received the word on good ground." And the good ground was the Greek word received there, paradekamai. It means when they hear the Word of God, they take it and place it alongside themselves for the purpose of doing it. Where the verse 16 at the beginning of Mark 4, it says, they hear the word, receive it with joy. The word for receive there means it fell on them. They happened to be in a good meeting at the right time, and they just heard a word that they agreed with. But they didn't use that word to parallel it alongside themselves to perform it or do it. Most of us as believers today, we come to church and we want to hear the Word of God, but we don't realize that how you come to church to hear the Word of God is to listen to it so you can put it alongside yourself to perform it. Are you following me? And that is important. Very important. So, three things that I brought up last week. It attacks the way a person thinks. It changes the way we speak. And it changes the way we do things. Two major areas all three of these were major areas for me about 8 years ago. Number one, it wasn't changing the way I was thinking, especially about people. I don't want to get ahead of myself. It never changed the way I thought about people. It changed me in such a way that I agreed with the Word of God, but my thinking was not changed with people. So I had to come to the conclusion I can't think of people that way no more. Are you following what I'm saying? Number two, that changes the way we speak. And I would be the first one that would speak against people rather than realizing what I'm saying about them is I would say to my best friend, and that's not right. And so I had to begin to work on how I spoke. And it changes the way we do things. And there were many things that were not changing that I was doing. And so these are areas, you can't take them all at once because it'll drive you crazy. You have to take one at a time and work it down into your life. Now, in Proverbs 18, 20, or 21, Proverbs 18, 21, turn there. We're going to talk about some things about the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we do things. In Proverbs 18, go to verse 21. It says here, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, when I first saw that verse, verse 21 there, I said, wow, life and death are in the power of my tongue. But you know what? The Lord spoke to me one day and said, jump up to the verse before it. It said, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Well, verse 20 is in conjunction with 21. What he talks about is he says a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. It's talking about the mouth has the ability to open wide and receive what you put into it, and it benefits the stomach How many? So he's saying when a man opens his mouth to put produce in it, food in it, he will fill himself and be satisfied with that. When you're hungry and you need a meal and you eat one of Sue Butler's meals, you will feel satisfied when you get through. Now, when he jumps down, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And what he was doing is he was referring to just as a natural meal will satisfy you and fill you up from hunger. He's saying one thing that you've got to realize, that the fruit of your mouth, if you eat that, and he's referring to the Word of God, if you realize that it has life and death in the power of what you say, then you will be satisfied with that as well. Same thing. Just like you would natural food, just like the Word of God for spiritual food. You've got to realize that if you want to be satisfied and filled to the completeness, it's going to require tongue action. You have to say the Word of God. You can't think the Word of God. Remember when Joe Purcell was here a couple of Sundays ago? He did a wonderful job Sunday evening talking about it is impossible to think the Word of God and get it to come to pass. You have to speak it. You have to commit it to yourself. Have you ever witnessed somebody get saved? How many of you witnessed somebody get saved? Have you noticed the struggle they have when you ask them to confess something? They'll sit there and agree with you in thought. And then you come down and say, good, now let's confess together. Whoa, wait a minute. All of a sudden they back off. Wait a minute, what are you asking me to say something? You know, what are you just going to think you're saved? Or are you going to actually acknowledge that you are? Let it come out. There's something about the power of the tongue. Matter of fact, the faith walk, when I first heard that write your own ticket with God, Kenneth Hagin was teaching you can have what you say. Say to this mountain. Say the thing that's in front of you. Speak it away. That was weird because I was taught, don't go saying something that's not true. Well, listen, life is not true. This natural life, there's no truth in it. It is what it is. It is what it is. Now, when we talk about truth, it means, well, just because something's happened, that is what truth really is. No, when you come into the kingdom of God, what truth really is God's Word over this natural world. You see. We've got to get that settled in our thinking. And so he says, just as though you would eat natural food to be satisfied, you've got to realize life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so, therefore, you've got to release what you say so you can eat the fruit of your lips and be satisfied. And at this point, it would be life. Amen? People do speak death. People speak in faith reverse out of sheer stupidity. If they keep going the way they're going to hell. If he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, he's gonna die. Are they dead? No, but we're speaking it. See, we've got to be careful to take control of what we say. Turn over to Proverbs 13:3. I should say back. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. You know what he's saying there? He says things he shouldn't have. Now, I've never done that as your pastor. I have never said anything I shouldn't have. But you all have. Boy, how many sermons I'd like to take back. Anyway, praise God. And in Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Now, what he's saying here is that when a man uses his tongue in a way that he shouldn't, then it will destroy the spirit of man. In other words, like in marital relationships, for an example, once two people come together, make vows before God, God puts his blessing on the marriage, they get into conflict, one will start feeding into the other. Negative stuff. And it destroys the spirit of that person, and eventually it destroys it such that it's irreparable. Are you following what I'm saying? So even if perverseness is in a man's mouth, he can destroy people's lives with it. And that's the power that the tongue has. And so we have to be careful what we say. Now, again, last week, turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Last week, again, I can't say it enough that the Word of God is not to be just mere information into your life. It has to be information that you perform or do. It has to be information that you perform or do. I use an example of building on my home. I went and got these magazines, and the reason I got them is not to just gain information, but I did it so that I could do what the book says to do. Are you following what I'm saying? I didn't buy those books so I could sit there and say, oh, I know how to do this now, and not do it. That's stupid. But I bought the books so that I would actually perform or do what is written in the books. Jerry and I were working together, and we're not all that knowledgeable on roofing and things, and so we always referred back to what does it say in the book. Well, it says in the book that we do it this way. And there's always a purpose for that. You know, we don't always understand why, but we know that these men have taken the time to put this information together, and they expect us to follow it. Amen? Well, the Word of God is put together in such a fashion or form that God expects us to perform the Word. Why? It is trusting in His Word. See? And there again, America is so steeped in its ability to trust in other things that God is just more of an option to something. If we get into a situation, we can get out of it some way. We can trust somebody. And it's amazing to me how many Christians go through life into tests and trials and battles and lose the battle and say they're doers of the Word of God. You know, my Bible tells me that if you go through the fire, you ain't going to get burned. If the waters overtake you, you're not going to drown. My Bible tells me just the opposite. It didn't tell me that I'm not going to go through tests and trials. It didn't tell me I ain't going to go through a fire. It ain't going to tell me that I'm not going to go through the floods. Are you following me? It says even though you go through them, they won't affect you. And I've seen Christians say, oh, I've lost my home. I've lost my kid. I've lost my job. I've lost everything. And said, but I do the Word of God. No, you don't. Your house is going down the river. It's built on sand. You're not a doer of the Word. You're self-deceived. That's why not doing the Word of God is the first position that you take is you're self-deceived. You think you are a doer of the Word, but actually you're just a hearer only. You can't hear the Word of God and then say that you're doing it and lose everything. You can't, because God is not a liar. He says you'll go through the fire, but the fire won't touch you. That's God's Word on it. Well, then how come? Because you're not doing the Word of God, period. The Word of God will not have you come to a place you lose everything. The Word of God gets into your heart and gets a wisdom coming from above that it sanctifies you and sets you apart, and your redemptive rights start working in your life, and you gain, you don't lose. Amen. You tell me about how they do the Word of God all they want, but if they're going through the fire and they get burned, don't tell me they're doers of it. My Bible tells me that if you're a doer of the Word of God, you don't get burned. You guys getting something here? That's when you got to get out of your self-deception. Sit down and say, I got burned on that last trip. What am I going to do about it? See, we don't want to blame ourselves. Why? We want to cough up some kind of grace teaching in the Word of God that says, God is sovereign. This wouldn't have happened to me if God had not ordained it to be that way. That is pride in the ultimate form and fashion. When God could have been telling you something a long time ago, we've just been too stupid to listen to Him. Do you know what God does when you go through a test or trial? God does not shut up. You know what God does? He starts talking to you right away. Why? He's my Father. He takes care of me. So if you're headed for a cliff, the first thing God's going to do, He's going to throw up road signs. He's going to do everything He can to stop you from going over the cliff. And you're the dodo that goes over it, not God pushing you over. Why, the devil crushed him like a bug. No, he didn't. He was stupid like the devil. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to carnal people, as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. You know what word he used for babes here? The word napios. It literally means no speech, unlearned, zero to toddler's age, meaning a real small child. Now, in the Greek, it adds fleshly. You were carnal, fleshly, babes in Christ. And the word here for carnal is a Greek word, sarkinos. And then he says in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. And he used a different word here. It is the word sarkikos, not sarkinos. Sarkikos. For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving like mere men. Behaving like mere men. Have you ever thought that when you came into the kingdom of God, you were not to react as a mere man? You're to react supernaturally. Now, me as pastor, you can ask my staff how perfect I am. I never react as a mere man. Right? You take the fifth on that. Sue says, so do I. That's enough out of you, woman. We all do it, don't we? We all react not as spiritual, but as mere men. You know, that means that the Bible's telling us we're not to react as a mere man. Have you ever thought about that? You know what God wants for all of us? Total peace. He wants us to be at peace at all time. But you know what? He didn't say, behold, I come to bring you what? Weird reactions for you to contain, as to stay as a mere man. He said, I come to bring you... He brought salvation to bring the world what? Peace. Peace. Now, the reason I took the stand that I've never been a mere reactor, I've been always a spiritual reactor, is when people get into my face in my life, I've always reacted supernaturally. Always calm, always swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I forgot which one it was on my side. Maybe it was Carol. Are you here today, Carol? There you are. I said one day to her, I can't remember what it was over, but I said, are you okay, Carol? And she says, well, I just never know how you're going to react. I got to think, I'm the boss, you're the employee, I don't receive that. So I asked her what you meant by it, and she said, well, I never know what mood you're going to be in. Yeah, it's hard for people to react to somebody when you don't know how they're going to react. Especially when they're wrathful. That's not acting supernaturally, that's acting as a mere man. Has it ever dawned on you that when people react violently about things, I had to pray about this. As a pastor, I still have to pray about this. Stay calm and not be wrathful about them. Not be emotional about things. React non-emotional. Emotionalism will destroy not only you, but people. You got to learn how to just relax and pray and let God speak to you how to react back. Are you following me? And you'll find not only it's going to be peace for them. Well, it might not be peace for them, but at least it'll be peace for you. Because you've heard from the Lord on it. So right away, you're not to react as mere men. And so Paul was saying here, when he said in the first verse, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ, fleshly people, he used the word sarkinos, which literally means made of fleshly human reaction. In other words, he was saying, the reason I approach you this way is, he says, I know that you're more flesh than you are spirit. You're just fleshly. Wow. Now, if I was part of the Corinthian church, I don't think I'd appreciate that. I'd probably be looking for another church. God would lead me right out of that mess. Then he goes on to say, I can't even give you revelation because you ain't got meltdown yet. And I got to put that in you. For you are still carnal. Verse 3, people don't realize that when you understand what Paul is telling them. First of all, he says, I couldn't bring you any revelation because you're mere human. Then the next verse, he says, you are still carnal, and he uses a different word. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, because you're not reacting as a supernatural being, but mere men, it's because you're fleshly and everything. He goes on to say, and you're still under the dominion of that flesh nature. And believers don't realize that when you get born again, you're to move out from under that flesh area. Move out from under, move into that spiritual realm where you belong. Say. Now there's 8 noticeable signs of being a doer of the Word of God. And I'm going to go through. But I want you real quick, like, turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And when I understood this whole book was on the issue of money, the influence of money that had gotten into the church, I began to see these scriptures a whole lot different than I've ever seen them before. One of these days we're going to teach on the book of James, on the issue of money in the church. But I want us to go to chapter 2 here, and I want us to go to verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If your brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Can you understand now when a person says that he's a doer of the Word of God and he doesn't do it? Well, how self-deception works? He's saying he has faith, but he doesn't show it. Isn't that funny? That has to come through a self-deception. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Boy, the writer got very, very ranky here on this body. He goes and says, listen, you guys, just because you believe in the true God, you're at the level of demons. They also believe. Yeah. Trouble is, they have respect and fear and tremble. Yeah. He says, what makes you special? Just because you believe in the God. He says, demons do that. Well, notice this. He says, But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Actually, the word dead here is a Greek word, useless. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Oh my gosh. I was reading one of my commentaries and said the book of James is a book of straw because it doesn't match the rest of the Bible. And he says right here in verse 21, he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? He called it a book of straw because over there in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it says Abraham was not justified by works. Are you following me? But let's read on. We'll go to Romans 4 in a minute. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made mature, perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the message and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And here's what he's saying in this verse. He is saying, without the body being under control of the Spirit, your faith is meaningless. Your faith is meaningless. Why? If you have faith and you're still body control, then what good is your faith? Because your body is going to speak against your faith. It does mine all the time. Especially when I confess healing because my body's sick. My body keeps saying, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. But the confession of my mouth is, I have received divine healing. I am healed now. I am healed. Mountain, move yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, go over to Romans 4. This is the reason why they called it the book of straw. And there's complete agreements with Romans 4 in light of James here. Chapter 2. They're in agreement. It's just according to how you're reading it. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by work, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteous. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteous. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Now here's how these two fit together. See, Abraham believed God, but he didn't have any works to prove it. He didn't need any works to prove it. He just believed God. But then he had works that followed what he believed God to be saying. So you see, it isn't that you can do anything to win favor with God. God gives you His favor. Are you following? Therefore, you'll react according to what God has already given you. Works will follow your faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's where carnal believers have a hard time with spiritual believers. Then they start looking at you and rolling their eyes back in the head and say, he's just got a religious spirit. All right, the eight noticeable signs of doers. Number one, a doer of the Word of God overcome being offended by people. People no longer stop their spiritual growth. They grow in grace and love for people. That's the first notable sign of a doer of the Word of God. They don't allow people to affect their heart or produce spiritual growth in him. Matthew 7, that was the problem with those who were calling upon the Lord. That was an answer to the Lord's prayer of how to preserve me in an evil day, is because I've forgiven my debtors. I'm walking in forgiveness. Therefore, I'm not judging somebody and I'm not looking at somebody else's mistake. People are not my issue and I can have a clear conscience before God. And when my house suffers tests and trials and persecution, I won't float down the river with it. God will be my guide, my champion, because I'm quick to forgive and not let people dictate to me how I'm going to react to things. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So you overcome and you grow in grace and love for people. If people are stopping your spiritual grace and love for people, then you got the problem, not people. People will always be what they are. It's how you react to them that makes the difference. Number two, a person who is a doer of the Word have a consistent prayer life. They communicate, they fellowship with the Father on a daily basis. Now we're living at a time period and I know that God understands the signs of our times. Are you following me? People always say, I just don't have time to pray. You have time to pray if it's important to you. You'll find some kind of place in your time schedule to talk to the Father. And now I encourage businessmen or people that have a lot of work on them and things like that. I always try to encourage them this way. I try to encourage my son Tim that way. To get up a little extra in the morning, just 10, 15 minutes a little extra. Get like a daily devotional. Rick Renner's Jewels. You know, get that book. And follow it through for the year. Get that little book. And sit down and just communicate with the Lord in the morning. Just tell Him how much you love Him, worship. Because God isn't looking for hours that you spend. He's looking for the heart that's committed. Right. And you can love God without a whole lot of time being attached to it. And so, I always told Tim, I says, in the morning, get up and go over the scripture and let God give you scripture. And Tim always calls me every once in a while. God gave me the scripture in the morning. I love that sound. Because see, it shows me He's ordering His day with direction of the Lord. Are you following me? Now, God never put it in my heart to tell Tim, how much time did you do that? Well, Dad, I was only there about 10 minutes. Not enough time. I'll tell you what, anytime you give God, God will fill it. You get in 2 minutes, you get 2 minutes of full time. That's a lot of time when you really think about it. It's enough time to say, don't do that! Or it's enough time to say, go for it. You know? That's the way God is. And so just take a few minutes and get some scripture out and let God just talk to you, because your day is going to be full. You're going to meet people in your day. You're going to meet people on your job. If you're an employee, you're going to have to deal with people. And God can somehow, just wants to speak back into your life in the morning in such a way that when you face a day, you go, oh my gosh, now I know why the Lord told me what He did. Why? Because He's looking for you to have peace that day. See. Point number three, their life is on a constant change to match the Word of God. That's why the word confession is homologion. It means coming into an alignment. That is what the word confess means. That's why the Old Testament, what you said is what they believed. There was no difference. That's why the word confession goes right along with the other word that talks about behavior, lifestyle. And so, you'll find that a person that is doing the Word of God is constantly changing in himself to match the Word of God. Point number four, they use Scripture of God's Word for all the unfavorable tests and trials they encounter in life. They use Scriptures. You know, when you don't use Scriptures, when you run into a test and trial, it's because you're not trusting God to help guide you out of that test or trial. And God wants to guide you out of it. So they use Scripture of God's Word for all unfavorable tests and trials they encounter in life. Point number five, they never run headlong into important decisions that involve other people in their life until they hear from God first. It says one of the spirits is going to be in the church in the latter times is heady. That means people who run headlong into something without any time with God or prayer to really consider the situation. And so, will others suffer in their decision? You know, as a minister of the gospel for years, and I got my wonderful wife as a testimony to this, I've always made my number one priority that God would be my one number one priority in worship. And the second priority would be to provide for my family. God has never told me, never ever told me not to work. The first principle of God's Word. Even Paul the Apostle said it. He said, for we labored with our hands, we wanted to be in samples unto you. The first issue of your faith is that you will be a provider for your family. No one will suffer because you provided. One thing women love is they love security in the home. They love to know their husband will do whatever it takes to provide for them. Women need that, and men, you need that satisfaction as well in your heart. My wife has always made the statement, Tom, you've always provided for me. I know that when things get tough, you'll always provide. She's always been in there. And that makes me feel so good. Because I would. I would give my life to see to it my family has what they need. That's just the way it is. I changed him. I saw some things that made me were so selfish and stingy because the Lord brought it up, not Sue. You're the most self-centered man I've ever ran into. It was the Lord. So now I'm trying to get out of that and trying to think of other people in my equation as much as possible. And so, will my decision make others suffer for it? I have a minister friend of mine now. He's an RMAI. Well, he has not re-upped with RMAI. And I just received word from his ex-wife. She pouring her heart out to me that he's not providing for his two boys, even though they're not married. And he since then has remarried. And so my heart went out to her because she was crying on the phone and says, I need his help. But he was a minister that's told her that God told him never to work, and yet his family has suffered miserably because He has never worked. There's something wrong with that. I have always labored when I minister. I was 8 years an evangelist. My wife will testify. I worked a very good job. I brought a good, God always provided a good income, and I still ministered for the Lord full time, didn't I, Sue? I went everywhere I wanted to, but my family never suffered. Are you following me? And God honors that when you take care of your family. Dean Braxton, I'm so proud of him. He come back. He had a special place in the kingdom of God for that trip that he took. But I went into shock when I had heard that he goes out and makes up for extra money by working for my son mowing lawns. I went into shock. I said, what a man of God. I'm going to tell you something. There's something about you laboring with your hand that mean a whole lot to God when you provide for your family, because that'll be a sign you'll provide for your church, you'll provide for your loved ones, and you'll provide for those who have need. I honor a family that honors the kingdom of God in their giving. And many of you have done that. Our church has been really blessed because you guys are good givers. Wonderful givers, and we appreciate you for that. We're able to do some things now, or we're in the works of doing some things, simply because our testimony has been your stability. And we thank you for that as a church. Amen. And point number six, doers of the word overcome sin in their thinking, in their tongue, and in their action. And I've had to change a few of them even the last 4 years. How I thought about treat people, and how I spoke about them in my actions. I've had to deal with that, and I've had to cleanse myself. When you're a doer of the word, you will do that. Point number seven, a doer of the word loves every opportunity to hear the word of God. To hear the word of God. And point number eight, they never abandon their date and time of their confession of things that come between them and their gold. Mark 11:23. Turn there real quick like. Mark 11:23. The Lord told me to share this with you. Always have faith in His Word. Always have faith in His Word. Because you will be the benefactor of it. God won't let you down. He will perform for you like He said. He's not a man that should lie. But He wants to help you. For assuredly I say to you, Mark 11:23. This is what Kenneth Hagin said. A lot of you didn't catch that. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. See, you'll never abandon the date and time that you've received something. You'll stick to it. No matter what comes against you, you'll stick to it. Are you following what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Like one lady that came up, rheumatoid arthritis, wrote a letter. I read it to you as a body, how blessed she was. She said, I know that God heals. Why am I not getting healed? And I said, well, if you know He got healed, when did you receive it? She looked at me and she went, and this is another thing. This is what your thinking will do. You think because He's your healer. Doesn't mean that you were a doer of the healing. She said, well, I said, you're in agreement that He heals, but you haven't appropriated your faith in your healing. What scriptures have you used? Well, I just assumed all of them would work. I says, well, you need a date and you need a time to receive your healing and it'll work. She says, well, nobody ever told me that. And she was standing right here. And I said, well, let's receive it now. He says, see, whatsoever you ask for, when you believe, you'll receive, and you shall have. I mean, eventually it'll come. And she got, that so hit her, I laid hands on her, boom, she went down, totally, completely healed. Why? It was such a revelation to her. My gosh, I'm sitting there agreeing and healing, but never appropriated it. That's what thinking will get you. Just because you think something don't mean you're appropriating it. You have to be a doer of that word. You guys get something here today? We have to be a doer of the word of God, not a hearer only. We have to be a doer of the Word of God and not a hearer only. For what reason? So you can have peace in your life. So you can have peace in your life. Stand up, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Many of you have questions after listening to Kenny last Wednesday night. But Kenny is going to go on and teach some more on money. And so if you want to hear more about the financial thing, I think it's pretty good. Kenny's bringing it up. He says the most valuable thing we've got is time. Time. Well, I'm going to tell you what, even though it might be that the Lord returns tomorrow, you always got to think, I got enough time. I got enough time. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you as we close this service today. That Father, before we close this service, that we have someone here that desires to know you, desires to come into the kingdom of God and receive Jesus as his Savior. Father, man has to know that living this life only is miserable. But when he brings Jesus into the flavor of his life, how exciting it can be. So if you're here today and you've never said the sinner's prayer, we're going to give you the opportunity to voice that at the end of the service. We'll have a few altar workers up here, ministers. And as you come up, they will go with you to a special place and minister your need to you. If you have need of salvation today, it is important that you give your heart and life to Jesus, because life is so uncertain for you. Life becomes very certain for you when you accept Jesus into your heart and life. And if you've been out of fellowship with God for a long time, and you want to place yourself back in that position of fellowship with Him, we want to pray with you also. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in the heavenly language, please don't hesitate coming up. You need that prayer language. It's a language of your inner man. The ability to communicate to God beyond yourself. So with that said, Father, as we now dismiss this wonderful body today, and Father, they go their way, may their every need be met today. And if you need healing at the end of the service, please come up for that as well. Always forget that, but we want to pray for you for your physical healing as well. And so with that said, you're dismissed.